Live and direct, we have the infamous Pure Hate from the Backtrack team. He is the man, the legend, currently the, what would you be, what's your official title?
Core developer.
Core developer of Backtrack Linux. What a man. And I am going to be here interviewing him about just how awesome Backtrack is while making snide comments about the alternative choices. This will be the first in a series of 12 one-hour talks brought to you by Club Mate. If it wasn't for this, neither of us would be conscious right now. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Backtrack development recently?
Hey, Gino's on IRC.
Who's on IRC? We've got SWC, we've got FBI,
some
guy named Nimbus who thinks Karma's a bitch. Karma does hate me, I tell you that much. So, tell us a little bit about how Backtrack's been doing.
Backtrack is alive and well. Backtrack is on the 3.26 kernel R2 version. And it's doing great. More downloads than ever, more users than ever, and more successful domain admins on penetration tests than ever. I currently use it every day in my current employment position.
You know, it's actually interesting that you bring up how Backtrack's alive and well. See, when you release a CD every 3 years and you don't ever update your website like Pentoo, a lot of people just kind of assume that Pentoo's dead, but we actually have a development team. There's two of us now, so that's a team. And we've got more users than ever as well. I think the download count's almost 500 these days. It's just fantastic.
And you know what? I would like to say that I think Pentoo is a great distro, and I will admit that I use it frequently on several occasions on penetration tests. However, I like to let the users speak for themselves. So when comparing user numbers, there's definitely one that's superior.
I completely agree with you. You definitely have a lot more users, as we found out yesterday with our little bet. We decided to, you know, take a survey of all the people here at Hope that had, you know, used Backtrack and used Pentoo. And, well, we kind of found out that most of it was, have you heard of Pentoo? And have you ever actually booted your Backtrack disk?
That's true. Unfortunately, I was rather disappointed at the number of Backtrack users here at this Hope conference.
Yeah, seriously, where are all of you? Why aren't you here?
So we made a little bet, and in order to make the bet fair, what I had to do was find a female Backtrack user, and, excuse me, what Zero Chaos had to do was find any Pentoo user at all. And so, after a complete day of interviewing as many people as we could, the best that we could do is we found someone who had downloaded Pentoo but never booted it.
That's true, and we found a lovely young lady who had used Backtrack on quite the regular basis and hasn't recently.
That's correct.
We did pretty well. We did pretty well for a con that none of you decided to attend. So what are your latest improvements in the Backtrack Linux distribution? New kernel, that's nice.
I would say that we have a shiny new kernel. I will admit that it's a little bit newer than I would like, and so there's a couple annoying things that don't quite work yet, which we're working through those.
So you're following the Debian standard of what new means, right?
They're not really relative. There's just a few annoying things, like shared folders between VMware machines. Just a couple of, nothing that will keep you from pen testing. However, a couple of annoying things if you're used to doing that sort of thing. So there's a shiny new kernel. There's package updates. One of the best things about Backtrack was the move to the Debian packaging system. And because it's really easy to update, really easy to repository. And one thing that we have that's fairly new in the past year is a shiny new bug tracker, so that we no longer have people using the forums and the IRC channel and those type of things in order to submit bugs.
I can tell you that all of your users thoroughly appreciate that nice public bug tracker. So I remember for, you know, Backtrack 3 and 4, there were kind of bug trackers, but unless you were a developer, you just didn't get access to it. So that's definitely a great improvement.
The problem was that, you know, unfortunately, some of our Backtrack users are fairly new, and some of them are not used to Linux projects, and some of them are not used to bug trackers, and so, unfortunately, they don't know how to use them correctly. And so, for example, my screen goes black when I start X becomes a high-priority bug. And so... We tried to avoid that for as long as possible. But unfortunately, you have to have a public bug tracker for a distribution.
That is 100% accurate. Unfortunately, you do have to have a public bug tracker. I myself have my fair share, you know, probably a little lower because of my percentages, but the percentages are still the same, you know, the people that submit the really popular "none of your menus work" bug. And they fail to explain why none of my menus work. Or, like, I click the menu and nothing happens when really a whole bunch of stuff pops up. It's just not what they expected.
Speaking of Pentoo bugs, the ISO you told me to download, not only will it not start X in VMware, the installer will not see the VMware disk. So I just wanted to report those real quick here live.
That's interesting. Were you using the beta or the alpha?
I'm using the alpha zero that you directed me to the other day.
Oh, wow. That's really impressive.
And
man,
I'll
work on that.
And I just tried it this morning.
You know, we actually at Pentoo, we have a public bug tracker. It'd be really helpful if you would submit that, because this is basically like IRC, and it's just not that useful. I'm going to need, like, a detailed emerge info. You know, the downloads of
there was,
you know,
no detail.
Copy your hard drive
there was,
for me. That'd be great.
There was Pentoo installer, enter time zone, prepare disk,
yep.
Fail.
Nice, nice. Yeah, we'll have to work on those bugs.
Anyway, so tell us about
install.
So tell us about Pentoo, because I have to admit that I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Gentoo, and I actually really, really love it, and I used to run it all of the time. So I'd like to hear what's new on the Pentoo project.
So new in the Pentoo project, we've actually had a couple of betas come out earlier this year, and then we had a development switch over. So Gremlin, who has been founded Pentoo, leading Pentoo for quite some time, recently got a new job and a new wife and a new baby, and somehow finds that the few hours a night he used to skip sleeping and work on Pentoo is just not working anymore because, well, somebody else needs his attention for right now. So I took over and renamed beta to alpha because, quite frankly, I have no idea what I'm doing. I just kind of hit buttons and occasionally things happen. So it's been really exciting taking over the project and got a decent amount of work done. Apparently, my installer still doesn't work, but, you know, these are bugs you work through.
It did work fantastically as a live CD, though, I must admit.
That's
good.
It's
just the install in VMware that was having some issues.
So it even booted up on your Macintosh.
I did not try that. I actually carry a second Windows computer. Well, not Windows. It's a Linux computer, but like a PC. Just for these such reasons.
Ah, very good. Very good. I think the reason the installer didn't work is because the cool glowing logo just wasn't on your laptop and it made you uncomfortable. It might be an issue.
Totally possible.
And the right mouse button just occasionally really screws with people. I don't know what's going on.
Or perhaps you didn't compile virtual disk support in the kernel when you were trying to trim it down to make it as fast as humanly possible.
Actually, the kernel is the one thing that I do not trim to living hell. I like to try to keep it to be, you know, bootable and runnable on as many things as humanly possible. And I'm thinking in my head about how I probably did not install the video card support for VirtualBox, which is why your StartX doesn't work. So that's a good thing to know. That's a good thing to know. But we've got a lot of new stuff in Pentoo. We've got a nice shiny 3.4.2 kernel that's out in our repos. Now the disk is running a 3.2.11 kernel because it's a little bit older. I decided to, you know, be all selfish and go on vacation, so there hasn't been a lot of development for the last couple of weeks, but, you know, one of these days when all these conventions are over with, we'll kick out a new release. I'm hoping for a nice shiny beta by the time we get to DEF CON, and we'll see how that goes, considering I'm not home between now and then. So, you know, it's all development time in hotels. You know how that works out.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was doing a little bit of that this morning. Well, trying to.
Yeah, I tried to do a little bit of work on Pentoo last night, and I am sure that Anton, who's my second, just does not appreciate the work I was doing at 4 in the morning last night, as I probably broke the repo and he had to fix it when I went to bed.
I will have to say, though, I'm just going to plug Verizon. My new 4G MiFi is blindingly fast right here in the middle of New York City. Doesn't work very well in places like Topeka, Kansas. However, here in the middle of New York City, Verizon is blindingly fast on 4G, even faster than my home internet connection. So I was really impressed
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, having a having a stable, fast internet connection at home really does not do guys like you or I any good.
No.
You might not realize this, but the people that run, you know, build these Linux distros, they don't ever see home. I fly about 200 times a year. I think that he's about the same.
Pretty similar. Yeah, that's one thing that I like to talk about when we talk, you know, have these developer type interviews, is a lot of people don't realize that, you know, that we have real jobs, and most of us have real wives and real kids and real family and that type of thing. And so usually we only get to squeeze, you know, a couple of hours a night into these things. And so, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of times you might look at our update schedule and there might be, you know, a week or 2 weeks where there's like 1,000 updates, and then there might be nothing for a couple of weeks, you know. And that's not because we're not working on it, or that's just because we're working on our real jobs. The coolest thing I think about working in our field and doing these distros, though, is I get to test almost all of the tools in real time. Which is really beneficial, I think. I used to just test them at home and set up my own lab, but, like, for example, VoIP tools, as long as they compiled and installed, I assumed they were working because I didn't have the setup to test that type of stuff at home. But now that I'm on the road all the time doing pen testing, I'm able to accurately test a lot of these tools. And what's bad, for example, I found several VoIP tools that were installed and working correctly. I have a few more bug reports to file, as a matter of fact, because I found a couple of tools that on Backtrack and Pentoo are installed correctly and compiled correctly, but do not work the way that they're supposed to. And so that's really cool. That's how we learn. And so
We should actually talk about that. I mean, we are both what would be, you know, mostly considered Linux developers. And people expect, you know, well, a Linux developer's going to write a lot of code. He's going to do a lot of this stuff. Most of what we actually do has nothing to do with that. What we're doing is we're taking a package from upstream, you know, the guy who actually writes the code, who releases it, and then we have to massage it, because none of them think about, well, you need to be able to install this. The directions are download, unpack, type make, and then just run it from the source directory for half of these projects. And sometimes things just don't work smoothly when you try to install them.
So if you are a tool developer out there, what we would like to ask is, think about that your tool may be going in a different non-standard directory. Your tool might be running on a newer kernel than you have.
Yeah, it might be thrown into like a / pen test directory instead of like user bin where it should be, maybe. That's kind of an issue that you need to
think about. That's interesting that you bring that up, because The pen test directory gives a really easy place to go find stuff. So there's several tools in Backtrack that are not in the menu. For example, several backdoors and several other things. And so if you need to find those or sort of explore the Backtrack menu, you can just go into the pen test directory and look around. However, for somebody that's a little bit new to Linux, if they go in USR bin and look around, they'll be a little bit overwhelmed by all of the tools there, and they might not realize which tools are installed by default and which tools are pen test tools type of thing. So that's the reason behind the pen test directory.
So have you read the file system hierarchy standard? It's just kind of a little, you know, standardized thing that Linux users have agreed on. Just, you know, little things.
The way I see it is, I haven't changed the official Linux. We only added a folder. So we didn't modify any existing folders. So that's
an important point. So what we need to do as Linux developers, we need to go back and submit that to the FHS upstream and suggest that they should have a top-level folder called / pen test, so that we can really, you know, so the users understand that better. It's documented more.
Well, I'm not sure. I think that might be going a little bit too far. However, okay, so the thing is that we did it, and that's it.
That is a fact.
Problem solved.
I use that justification very often.
We haven't had anybody, except for you, as a matter of fact, complain about that ever. So, 4 million to 1.
Oh, come on, I have more than one user now.
What? No, that's the thing. It's only you. Your what? Users aren't complaining.
Well, I have two developers, man. I got to have more than one user.
I'll file a bug about where's the pen test folder on your bug tracker later.
I appreciate that. We actually have started development of an e-class to automatically run sed on all of the Python and Ruby programs so that when they're looking for things in /Python/pentest/whatever, we correct it to where we're actually installing things, because so many people write for Backtrack because it's just such a large distribution that
true.
A lot of those tools expect there to be a pen test folder, and especially like the Python and the Ruby stuff, it will directly call things in /pentest/whatever. And it makes it a lot of fun for me.
That's an interesting point, because I actually, even though I work on Backtrack, I find it annoying when people write their installers to go into the pen test directory. We as developers will put it where it goes. You know, so if you're developing a tool, I would suggest developing it to run on the general Linux. So it will install on fairly, and let the developers of the different distributions put it where it goes.
Yeah, and that brings us back to talking about what Upstream really does to make our lives miserable. Not only do they kind of do whatever they want, not plan for an installer, plan for an abnormal installer, but when we go back to them and say, hey, by the way, I just want to let you know we're adding this to our distribution, and we found these issues, and I patched them, here's the patch, and they're like, well, we don't need that.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of what we do is to take those Upstream projects and get them to a larger audience so that people can just run it and use it and enjoy it, put it on a live CD. They don't have to do anything. They can just go, and Upstream just does not care a lot of times, and that's a problem.
I used to submit a lot of patches, and I just gave up. I don't know if it's because people are mad because you're calling their baby ugly, or if people are mad because, they don't want to take a patch from a hacker, or, I don't know what the deal is with Upstream people taking patches. So I've pretty much given up on that myself, and so
some babies are ugly.
I make it work on Backtrack. If I can't make it work on Backtrack, I ask Zero Chaos if he made it work on Pentoo, and if he made it work on Pentoo, I go look at his e-build and steal the code, and then I make it work on Backtrack, and, That's been working for us for a long time now.
Yeah, and I found out last night that Backtrack has finally joined the ranks of open source Linux distributions.
That's true. As of R1, Backtrack is completely open source. There was a few things in earlier versions, 1, 2, and 3 of Backtrack, that were not open source by design. Like, we wrote a lot of our own kernel patches, and we didn't give those out for a long time. I wasn't in charge of that. I'm not really sure what the reasoning behind that was, but we did have some complaints about Backtrack not being totally open source, and you also have to remember is that none of us are Linux developers. I mean, we just all of a sudden decided...
I'm a Linux developer now. I actually work for Gentoo now.
Excuse me. Hold on. I got to scoot down a little bit because I'm not a Linux developer.
A little bit too
That's
big.
Right. We got to make room for Rick's second head. So I'm not a Linux developer. And a lot of us just got on these projects to make these tools better and to help out and that kind of thing. So... So we are learning. Like, for example, when Backtrack made the move from Slax to Ubuntu, we weren't really sure how to do a repository. So what happened was that, we came up with binary packaging because we thought that's the way that we were supposed to do it. And so we found out later about, Ubuntu source-based packaging. And so at this point, the entire repository is completely open source. Anything can be downloaded. All the kernel patches are included with the source kernel package. Any patch that we apply to a package is, in the source. There's all the proper, control files and make files and everything that tell you everything that's going on. And so we're pretty proud. I know it's been a long time, but we're pretty proud that Backtrack is completely open source at this point, and nobody can complain about that anymore.
Yeah, I'm very proud about that, to be honest. I'm happy to welcome you to the open source community as a liaison. And it really makes a big difference because although, these are competing Linux distributions, that doesn't necessarily mean that we hate each other. Depends on the day, right? But we have to work on these things together because sometimes Upstream just screws it up so badly that neither of us can fix it by ourselves. And we do actually talk and share ideas, figure out how to make things work. Pure Hate is one of the best password crackers I have ever seen. So when I want to add new password cracking stuff, I talk to him. I learn how to test it. I learn how to compile it. I learn how to optimize it. And every once in a while, when they have a wireless question, they bring it to me because, you know, that's what I do.
That's what Rick does is wireless. I can't tell you how many times I've called him, you know, to get something working or even from work. So that's one thing that I like really to come out of any conversation is you might see us on IRC arguing and think that we really didn't
frequently,
like each other.
Frequently.
However, that's not the case. We're all friends and we all hang out together at cons and we all call each other when we need help and we visit each other in the same airports. We stalk each other with Google Latitude. You know, it's really a pretty cool thing to be friends with people from all the different distributions.
Thank you.
Awesome. Although I'm pretty anti-Arch Linux, so I don't want to be friends with any Arch Linux devs.
That's funny. I don't want to be friends with any Ubuntu Linux devs. I guess that only leaves out one person that I know. He's part of the Italian mafia, but I don't think I'm going to run into him anymore. good times. If it weren't for Club Mate, once again, I would be laying on the floor right now.
So there's no way I can talk for an hour. What else should we talk about?
Oh, I think we should definitely talk about what's coming up soon for you personally. You got some pretty exciting stuff coming at the end of September, I hear.
That's true. I'd like to think it's the best security conference in the world.
I'd like to agree.
So one of the things that that me and a couple other guys put on is a little conference called DerbyCon, which is in Louisville, Kentucky. The last weekend in September. There's still plenty of tickets available. If you didn't go last year, talk to some people that went last year and find out, you know, what it was like. I have not heard any complaints about last year, except for we forgot to schedule a lunch break. That was sort of a minor inconvenience to some people. But
I was starving.
This year, there will be a lunch break. It's on the schedule, high priority. And
mandatory.
There's a lot of great speakers. You can check out the website, derbycon.com. We also, some really, really cool person that I guess wishes to be remain unnamed because there's no name, actually created a DerbyCon Roku channel. If you have a Roku,
oh, wow.
You can actually go to the DerbyCon channel and see all of the talks from last year and see what you missed out on. But the dude didn't put his name on it. There's no way to, like, thank him or find out who it was or whatever. And so whoever that dude is, thanks. It's one of the first con Roku channels I've actually seen. So anyway, that's coming up soon. We got a lot of great speakers. Some of the same from last year and some new ones from this year. The CFP is still open. We're taking talks. We got a bunch of trainings that are reasonably priced. They're right around day and a half trainings, right around $1,000, which may sound like a lot unless you go to Black Hat and you get some training like pen testing with Perl, you know, for $6,000 for 2 days. Which I might add, Jobber's a great dude. I'm not knocking his class, but for people that his companies,
a little pricey.
Yeah, for people whose companies aren't paying for him, you know, $5,000 and $6,000 is a little bit much when the only souvenir you get is a book.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that my dear friend Martin here is way down on the ego scale for whatever reason. So I got to stroke it and make it a little bigger for him. He's actually been walking around this whole conference introducing himself as Martin. Even though he's a core developer for a famous Linux distribution at a hacker convention, he's like, oh, hi, I'm Martin. And then I have to introduce him properly so that people actually go, dude, right? I mean, you really, if you missed DerbyCon the first time around, you missed out. It was hands down the best conference I've ever been to in my life. It was run by, you know, Pure Hate here. It was run by Dave Relic and
Adrian Iron Geek.
And it was basically the friends of those three. They called everybody they knew and they said, hey, we want to start, you know, a new convention. And all of their friends said, all right, sure, I'll volunteer, I'll help, I'll talk, I'll give a presentation, you know, I'll do a class. And it was 1,200 of your closest friends, of all the coolest people, just to give you an idea of what it was like. Hackers for Charity was there and raised twice as much money at DerbyCon as they did at DEF CON. with, what was that, 15,000 compared
versus
to 1,100?
13,000 people? 15,000 yeah. at DEF CON, maybe?
Yeah, 15,000 at DEF CON compared to barely 1,000 of us. And, like, people just, they couldn't get enough of helping each other. It was like family every time you were in the hallway. Every single speaker there was a top-notch big name except for me. And they filled those rooms, man. They filled those rooms. And then they walked out amongst that clamoring crowd, and they hung out for hours. H.D. Moore, you were telling me about last night.
He had several dinners.
Yeah, he had 8 dinners one night because people kept inviting him to go to dinner, and he didn't want to turn them down. So if you've never met H.D. Moore, all you need is $20 and take him to the burger joint, and he will be your best friend because he apparently just doesn't like to refuse dinner.
Not at all. It was a really great time, And it was really special for us because, you know, like I said, we didn't have any money to start with. We had an idea. Me and Dave and Adrian and Elliot Null Threat and this other guy, Ken Powercycle, we, the ISSA in Louisville, they asked us to put on a free Metasploit class. And the only thing you needed to get in was a donation of $10 to Hackers for Charity. And it sold out within minutes after putting it online. And we had to add people, change the venue, all this kind of stuff. And so once we did that, we were like, hey, maybe we should have a security conference down here. And so we literally just had an idea and started acting on it. And so kind of like Zero said, we just called all our friends and we're like, hey, man, we don't have any money, but you want to cruise down to Louisville and talk? And, you know, hey, man, we don't have any money, but you want to come down here and be on our security team? Like, hey, man, we don't have any money, but you want to come down here and sell T-shirts? And it just really all came together. We had the hardest time in the world getting that hotel. They didn't even want to talk to us. Me and my friend Alex, that was instrumental in getting the hotel, we went down there and we didn't dress up. We got a few tattoos and whatever. And the hotel dude didn't even call us back. We had to get Dave. Yeah, so we kept emailing this dude over and over and over again. And finally, we had to get Dave to email him from his chief security officer at Diebold address. And after that, he started responding right away. So that guy, his name's Will Barber. He's a douche. But we love that hotel now. Now they love us, of course.
Not only do they love us, but there's already scheduling a DerbyCon 3, I hear.
That is correct. DerbyCon 3 is going to happen whether anybody comes or not. So it'll be there. And so we're hoping for a real good year this year, man. I love talking about it. I loved the feel of it. Everybody had a good time. You know, I don't know if anybody's been following this whole sexual harassment, red card, yellow card crap on Twitter about DEF CON or whatever, but, like, nothing like that even remotely happened to DerbyCon.
I was on security for about 16 hours a day every day, you know, because you had just so many people there. We were all blown away, and the only problem we had the entire time was one dude decided to talk back, and it lasted all of 3 seconds, and I was like, dude, come on. He's like, all right. I mean, it was the best thing from every con. You know, you had the nice paid trainings from, you know, all from Black Hat and stuff like that, except for, you know, at a quarter of the price. You had all the headline guys, except instead of being mugged by all the little kiddies, they would actually just come and stand with you and talk and help you. Yeah. It was like family. It was the friendliest atmosphere you've ever been to. And it's really, really worthwhile.
You could get into every talk you wanted to.
Not one had the doors closed.
And not one line to get in. You know, it was really great. And so we're really hoping that it stays like that this year. We're certain the feel and the ambiance and everything is going to be the same. More people, of course, always causes more problems. So I'm not knocking any of the bigger cons because I realize the more people you have, the more rules and restrictions you have to put into place and all that kind of thing. But so we're trying to keep it low key and keep everybody cool and that kind of thing, and so pretty excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is not to be missed. Those of you that missed it, if you miss it again, you may as well just, you know, drop off the face of the earth because everybody cool is there and you want to make friends. It is the best thing in the world. So do not miss it. You, FBI, you're a douche. Come to the con anyway. You'll make friends. Even you.
Are those guys actually watching the TV?
Yeah, these schmucks are actually watching us for whatever reason. You gonna come on and argue with me, Bunny? No? No, this nice young lady decided to put me on the radio because I was an asshat to her outside. She's like, hey, you should be on the radio. And I'm like, sweet, I got a face for radio, so let's do this. So here we are, getting trolled in IRC by my typical trolls and chilling on the radio. So how much do friends cost at DerbyCon? That's actually an interesting question. For you, they are priceless.
Who asked that?
FBI.
Oh.
My favorite troll.
Awesome. Hi, Gino. I see you're on there.
Yes, yes. If the chat is any indication, there are a good four of you watching this radio program, so thank you very much
for your
patronage.
Four people. This is awesome.
Yeah, we are cool. So cool. So speaking of cool people, what have you been up to recently in personal life? I know you've given a couple of talks recently. You want to talk about any of that stuff?
I did, so... Yeah, since we don't have anything else to talk about, me and Eric Milam, who's a guy I work with, Bravo Hacks, or anyway, he's the...
Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo, that's right. He keeps changing his nickname, but whatever. So he took over the EditorCat project. Somebody might have heard of him that way. But anyway, so...
Just a little project, you know.
That's
just,
right.
Just EditorCat, no big deal.
So... So we've recently been on a bunch of pen tests where Metasploit failed us. The good old PS exec module is no longer working. AV has finally caught on, you know, 3 or 4 years later. Or I don't know how long I've been rocking that tool, but unfortunately, AV has caught on. Not all of them. I don't want to blast anybody's AV, but like...
Let's not blast anybody's AV.
I won't blast anybody's AV. So there's a few that are catching it, and so we got sick of it. So we wrote a new tool, which actually obfuscates the binary and uses a patched version of SMB client to which accepts a hash and uploads it legitimately, and then uses another tool called WinEXE, which is a Linux command line tool to run Windows commands, which is also patched to patch the hash. And so it uses both of those tools to completely legitimately upload the binary to the temp directory and run it and connect back on a reverse shell. So it's not a totally original tool, really. We ripped off like five people's work and we put it all together and rewrote it better. But that's sort of the open source way, really. So
that actually specifically shows how incestuous the open source community is, because I was on the original EditorCat team and then you and Eric took it over and started working on that stuff. And I spent the last couple of weeks working on password cracking shit.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
So we just go back and forth and round and round. Whatever interests you at that moment, whatever came out that day, you want to, you know, package it up, you want to test it, you want to get it to users, you want to, you know, fix all the broken stuff in the community. And some groups are really receptive to that. And unfortunately, some projects are kind of dead. Like, EditorCat was dead for three, four years. Real dead. And, yeah, then people just kind of magically pick stuff back
using
up
it again. And, yeah. I actually used it, and you know what's funny is that we took over the EditorCat project. Eric and this other guy Esau do most of the work, but I do some stuff on it. But you know what's funny is I always, man in the middle is like my last resort on a pen test. Like if I don't have anything by like Friday at lunchtime, like I'll break out the man in the middle.
Way out.
Right. You know, like, but I'll wait all week. Like I'll do everything else, you know, I'm never going to leave empty handed, you know? So I'll break out the man in the middle. And I usually don't have to, I'm sad to say, but I did have to break it out recently. And so it's cool to see a project come back, and it's also really, really... The best thing about being a developer for one of these Linux distros is when you actually see somebody, you know, really using it, not rocking it on their laptop at a con to look cool, but somebody, like, really, like, I use this every day at work, or I use this, or, for example, the other day, the NSA General Alexander guy... put up a video on some website or something. Somebody just sent it to me. I didn't find it. But he was talking about downloading Backtrack Linux and using it. And so, you know, that shit's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet. I look forward to that happening to me someday. Well, just organically seeing somebody running Pentoo. There's got to be two or three of you bastards out there. Come up, find us at the con, man. We've been hanging out at the Hackers for Charity booth. Both of us tweeted the hell out of it, and we got like... four friends of ours that we know to come by. Like, we don't bite. Well, I mean, not hard. Not
hard.
Unless you want.
But,
like,
but,
come by.
But besides us, there's a lot of cool shit over at the Hackers for Charity booth. They got a pawn plug over there that you can bid on. They got, What's that one thing?
Oh, yeah, they've got a Kisby, which is a brand new Zigbee sniffer from the author Kismet. They've got a GPS tracking device, a Pentagon, and an NSA challenge coin.
They've got an NSA coffee mug. I got my eye on that thing, actually.
Yeah, that's good, because I got my eye on something else, and I don't want to get into a bidding war with you.
Seriously. That could get ugly.
We are going to buy out the Hackers for Charity booth if you all don't show up,
if you all
up,
don't
man.
Come over here and get some stuff from this Hackers for Charity booth, we're going to buy it all up. Because we don't care. Hackers for Charity is a great organization. If anybody doesn't know anything about it, come on over to the booth. We'll give you the spiel. You can bid on some stuff. You can get a cool t-shirt. The t-shirt is an absolute great conversation starter. The one that specifically says I Hack Charities on the front. So if you just throw that on and take a cruise through the local mall or the airport, I guarantee you that you will have a multitude of interesting conversations start up. They might not all go the way that you want them to. However, it's a great conversation starter. My wife actually is so embarrassed by the I Hack Charity shirt that she won't be seen with me anymore wearing it, because she gets embarrassed about all the people that come up and say, why do you hack charities? That's so terrible. But that was the point of the whole shirt, was to start a conversation so that you could lead those people into what the charity's really about and what it does and get the awareness out there. And it works. It was a great shirt.
Yeah, and when you look at the percentages of how much money that's donated to Hackers for Charity goes to the people, which is all of it, and then 100%. You look at every other charity, and it's, you know, 20% goes to people and 80% goes to fuel all the people that work for the nonprofit organization, you really, you can't hold a candle to it. You can't hold a candle to it. They're really out there doing some good work, and they're not, like, just sitting back and sipping six-figure salaries.
That's an interesting question. How is it that Linux is nonprofit and we don't make any money? But Red Cross is nonprofit, but they get paid.
Oh, they get paid.
That's what I'm saying.
They get paid real well.
How's that work out?
That's an excellent idea. There's no advertisements on Backtrack yet? I thought we'd have an ad-supported version by now.
No, we don't. We do actually have a government contract version now. So if you want to buy government support, well, let me rephrase that. If you want to buy support in order to use it for your government agency, you can now do that, and you can be supported by the official Linux Backtrack developers.
It's always a
ticketing
good thing.
System, telephone, whatever you need. And so there's different tiers of support. So I will plug that. That's Mutz's baby. Mutz is the head developer. So that's his baby, and that's been going fairly well. That was the biggest complaint we ever had about Backtrack, is that open source, pre-compiled binaries, all that stuff, and they can't use it in a government organization because it's not sanctioned. Even though General Alexander's rocking it, I don't know how that worked out either, but apparently his minions are not allowed to use it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of confusion in those regulations and stuff, and it's clearing up now, hopefully, and that's a great thing. And, you know, paid support has always been a staple for the Linux community, because we're all out here doing this for free, for fun, while we're doing our other jobs. Those of us that are, you know, doing two jobs like that can't go and do paid support full time for free.
True.
You know, if somebody wants to be able to call somebody 24/7, you actually need staff for that kind of thing. You need people that are willing to do it, people that don't have a job, which in this economy are pretty easy to find. But
yeah,
somebody has to do it, and sadly, it's not
going to
be us.
Front.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're looking for any hackers that haven't showered in 3 days, there's a lot of them out in front of Hope. Absolutely.
And several without jobs. Although, I wouldn't hire anyone that can't take a shower every day.
Yeah, I would like to remind everybody on the radio of the 3-2-1 rules. If you have not been following it, fuck you. Seriously.
The 3-2-1 rule is you need to get at least 3 hours of sleep per night. You need to eat at least 2 meals and take 1 shower.
It's not that much to ask. You have 24 hours. We want you to sleep 3 hours, eat twice, and shower. And we actually had a guy just outside we were hanging out with, guy that nobody knew. He was just like, hey, is there anybody that can get me a shower? Somebody just, here's my room key, go up.
That's
have
right.
a nice time.
I'd like to say that I promote anybody taking a shower. If you stink and you need a shower, you know, let me know. We'll get you hooked up.
Yeah, it makes the con better for everybody if you just frickin' shower. I mean, you can skip eating and it's not going to offend me, but seriously, shower. That's got to be a rule.
For sure. And please carry that rule to DEF CON and Black Hat, because
yeah,
it's even worse cons. After like 8 days of con.
Oh, dear God. It's even worse when there's 15,000 of you instead of 500.
Yeah,
seriously.
It's bad news.
That's critical, folks.
Critical, absolutely. Absolutely critical. You know, there should be a con guide. We should make a con guide.
Well, actually, I think Spider Labs from Trustwave was nice enough to very publicly promote the 3-2-1 rule on Twitter last week.
Okay.
In preparation for Hope, and then, you know, the incoming Black Hat and DEF CON and all that good stuff. So, since all that's coming up really shortly, you got any cool stuff you want to plug that's happening at DEF CON or Black Hat? Anybody talking that you know? Where are you guys going to hang out? Where can all of your adoring fans find you?
If I have any adoring fans,
both
which
of them,
I highly doubt, but if there are any really good-looking female adoring fans, I'll be staying at Planet Hollywood. No, actually...
He's kidding, Mrs. Purehaven.
I'm kidding. So, my company, Acubant Labs, we do our corporate party every year at Black Hat, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll be involved in that. We have a big party. Paul Oaken, what's his name?
Oakenfold.
Apparently he's a big famous DJ. I'd never heard of him, so I guess that makes me a loser. So, but apparently he's pretty famous.
Only for like the last 20, 25 years.
Yeah, well, I like fish. So, anyway.
I'm also hungry.
So anyway, he's playing at our party. It's extremely hard to get an invite, so I'm really just telling you that to make you jealous. I don't... The chances of getting an invite to the party are slim to none, so except for our friends and people we work with and that kind of thing. So,
what about the Backtrack party? Is there going to be a Backtrack party this year, or at least a gathering of some such?
There will be something. It will probably comprised of OffSec people, Backtrack people,
former
OffSec people. I don't know if we're going to put it on the website. It might be more of an undercover kind of thing, but
so find the guys wearing the Backtrack shirts and follow them around in the evenings.
That's right. And so most of the guys from the Backtrack team should be there, and I don't know, it'll be a good time. Anybody that wants to talk about anything, come find me anytime.
There's actually information about the Backtrack party apparently already posted on lemonparty.com.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That is
so
excellent.
So all of you should go there, check that out, and get the information. Thank you for that, FBI. I really appreciate that.
That's excellent.
We'd like to thank Dave Relic for allowing them to host that on his website. That's really, really appreciate that. That's cool.
That's right. Dave Relic's going to be talking about some super cool stuff I probably wouldn't miss at DEF CON. I definitely can't tell you about it. I also want to plug his new company. He has a new company called Trusted Sec. He actually left a Fortune 1000 company as the chief security officer to start his own thing. Now he's doing what he loves. He's technical and he's pen testing and I don't know. It's going great, supposedly.
I'm going to say, I've seen more press about him than pretty much anything else recently.
He's not driving a Benz yet or anything, but he's doing well. He's doing well. And so anybody that needs any, security needs that for some reason can't use my company, you can use Dave's.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. I myself, assuming anybody wants to find me, will be hanging out in the Wireless Village for pretty much the entire time. I somehow got asked by everybody I know to give a presentation, so I'll be giving one Sky Talk with some other guys. We'll be talking about software-defined radio fun stuff, and then we're going to go back to the Wireless Village later. I'm going to talk about amateur radio stuff and more SDR radio stuff, so we can actually get in a nice question-and-answer session, a nice training on how to really get started with these really cheap pieces of junk that do absolutely incredible things. So it should be a lot of fun.
What is your wireless talk?
When? That's a great question. I'm guessing sometime after Doomsday. I, despite working on the Aircrack project for, God, pretty much since Aircrack NG existed, I've been focusing on other areas recently due to much-needed coaxing from people around me.
That's an interesting point. Tell us what's happening with the Aircrack project.
The Aircrack project's actually alive and well. A lot of people don't realize that since, you know, there hasn't been a release in forever. We're getting really close to a 1.2 release, which has got all the roll-ups from, you know, all the stuff that we've been working on the last couple of months. And really, it's a lot of fixes, a lot of new stuff to support, you know, the new things that have been going on in the kernel. Right now, everything works by using the compatibility mode of all of the drivers to work on wireless extensions, which was the original Linux wireless system, and now Linux is basically completely converted over to what's called Mac 802.11 stack, and they all use NL 802.11 and config 802.11 to do all the configuration of the cards, put them into monitor mode to change channels. It's So we're actually working on full support for all of that good stuff. Airmon NG was completely rewritten by me because I hate it. The new version is in SVN called Airmon ZC. And you better all test it, because if you don't like it, really, really soon, that's going to be tough luck. So if nobody tests it and we're going to commit it to stable, you might want to test it.
It's been working for me so far on all my Wi-Fi cards, so...
Absolutely.
So I can't complain.
I've only got 200 to test with. So.
However, I don't have any super obsolete cards. Everything I have is pretty standard. I'm one of those guys that likes my shit to work when I get on site. So,
yeah, if your Wi-Fi card's over 10 years old and you try to report a bug to me, I may not care. But, you know, you're welcome to try.
So I usually ask Zero Chaos what the best Wi-Fi card is for the job, and then I order four.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, he's a real jerk about that. I plugged this one Wi-Fi card that I found, and I had only bought one. And I plugged it a little too early because he went out and bought two, and like half the people I know went out and bought two, and they're invisible now. They had stopped manufacturing them, and I did not know this at the time when I plugged it. So
Which one was that? The
Roswell one. Everybody bought these new Roswell UBE 600N cards, and now they don't exist anymore.
What do you mean they don't exist?
They're sold out. They're gone.
But they still work?
Oh, no, they still work. Oh. Great. But they're gone. You cannot buy one anymore.
Oh, I did plug it on Twitter, didn't I?
Yeah, you sure did. I plugged it on Twitter over like 15 posts, and everybody I know retweeted it, and now there aren't any. So, super sorry. There's currently no recommended 802.11a cards that you can purchase anymore because, damn.
I feel good that I have four then.
Yeah, I bet you do, man. My one treats me real nice. I actually keep it in a specialized hardened case. Because if I break it, I have no more. That's all I have.
I'm happy to give you one if you break it.
That's great. I will keep that in mind.
I still have two in the box.
That's right. He bought four, has two in the box, and I can't get a second one.
But I use the other two all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a great card, so hopefully they'll make some more. But you know, it's the thing. If Zero Chaos tells you to buy a Wi-Fi card, you get four. I mean, it's perfect math to me, so... So I'm the kind of guy that like forgets things and leaves things, and I always like to have two of everything. So I just buy a lot of whatever. Like I've never been one to skimp on hardware, especially when you're doing pen tests. I mean, there's nothing worse than being in a obscure city and needing a Wi-Fi card, and there not being anywhere to get one anywhere around. You know, So I've had that happen to me a few times. I've showed up at client sites with only 2.4 gigahertz gear when they have a 5 gigahertz network. So I'm never going to be making any of those mistakes again. Live and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so many people go in, they buy the Alpha card, and they're like, dude, this is the sweetest thing ever, and it's a BG-only card, and pretty much everything else Alpha Networks makes is a piece of junk. And they put them all in the same form factor. They look really sweet.
Right.
The dual-band card is not completely worthless if you're comparing it to the ones that you buy at, like, Walmart.
Right.
Those are completely worthless.
I've used that dual-band a few times until I got the new one.
Yeah, that dual-band is not terrible. It's definitely a step up from garbage, but it's really hard to find 802.11a hardware that doesn't suck. So, you know, to all you companies out there that want to secure your Wi-Fi, all the hackers have BG cards. If you do 5 gigahertz 802.11n, you're fucking invincible.
That's what I tell all the customers I go to. If you just switch your network to 5 gigahertz, you've eliminated 85% of the Wi-Fi hackers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've got Off the Hook coming up, so I want to pimp that. They're coming on at 1 o'clock. You'll have all the super...
What's Off the Hook? Is that girls?
Wow, man, you have been at the con too long, man. poor Pure Hate has not been home in quite some time. It's very evident. No, Off the Hook is actually the radio show for 2600. So you're going to get all the big dogs from 2600 in here. They're all going to talk about some cool stuff.
That's awesome.
So it should be a lot of fun for those of you that care enough to stay on. Though I know that most of you just came here to see me and Martin bicker.
That's right.
But apparently there's a lot of dissatisfaction because we haven't hit each other with chairs or anything yet. People don't realize we really aren't adversarial in person, just on IRC.
We really aren't. We really aren't. And we like to play with each other and make fun.
That sounded a little gay, actually.
We like to play with each other about distro statistics, which is always fun. But you know what? I mean, the long and the short of it is
that sounded a little gay too.
Well, I mean, fuck. What do you want me to do? Anyway, I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you very much for wasting your time with me. It was thoroughly enjoyable. And I say that to all of you jerks in the IRC channel. Not a one of you had a constructive criticism. And I would like to say to, I don't even know who it was anymore, but you dude that plugged Arch Linux. Arch Linux is for lazy Gen 2 users. So get off your butt, install Pentoo, and have a better day. So for the rest of you, take it easy. Those of you that were kind enough to not be in the IRC channel trolling us, have a great day. And come see us at DEF CON. Come see us at DerbyCon. And if you missed both of those, I'm super sorry. That's all.
There's always Hackfest Canada if you missed those.
Yeah, CanSec West.
All right.
That was exciting.